You're in the cricket chat.
Yeah. Don Paul's still in the cricket chat.
Stats. What is happening? No, we're going to have to work. All right, let's start this thing, Joe.
Oh, we should have got that.
We definitely did. Don't you worry. We got it. What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another episode of Talk To Me. You know, as the show where I get my friends to talk to me, I'm excited because we're back. It's 2023. We haven't filmed an episode in a minute and I'm excited to film it. Got Joseph in the room as per usual. But we have multiple guests today, so I'm excited to do it. Happy Australia Day. This is coming out on Australia Day. And I thought if we're going to have Australia Day, if we're going to release an episode on Australia Day, I need the Aussiest blokes I know. So I've got Adam. Adam, what's going on, brother?
Hey, yeah, it's good. Good. Happy Australia Day.
You buckled hard there. But the man of the hour, the man I wanted, the man we all deserve, Brock Lesnar.
How are you going?
Welcome back, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
How are you, bro?
Yeah, good. Good. I've been amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Mate, you're spending a lot more time in Sydney these days.
I have been, yes. Especially the last few months, spending a lot of time here working. It's good. Get to see Adam a bit more and a few of the boys around Faith from time to time.
You're seeing Adam more in Sydney.
Well, he's been, you know, away a fair bit. I've been told not to go into that, so I won't say too much. But yeah.
It's all ministry.
Yeah, it's all ministry. Yeah, right. If you know, you know. You know what's going on. Ladies and gentlemen, and you know that you need to be subscribing to this channel, press the like button, press that bell, do all that nice stuff, because if you do that, YouTube is nicer to me. So please do that, and we'll get things done. In the last month, I've had Michael Preschedo take over my TikTok account.
You have TikTok?
We have TikTok. Have a chat. Not for me.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it.
How good is it?
I've liked some of your photos or your videos.
Not bad, huh?
They're good. Yeah.
Have you followed us on TikTok?
Yeah, of course.
See? Look at this guy. Michael's in the room. Say hi, Mike.
Hello, friends.
There we go.
Can I just say on TikTok, just to jump in here, that Brock actually has a very interesting story about TikTok. I think he had about 10 million views or something on one of his videos.
1.1 million.
On what?
So back at the time of COVID was just starting, I had TikTok and I was posting a few of these like funny political videos. And the first one I thought was when Scott Morrison came out and was grilling that reporter named Andrew. And I took the clip of that off the news article and put it onto TikTok and it blew up. I got like 50,000 views. I'm like, whoa, there might be a bit of a market here for...
Aussie political stuff.
Well, I went into some American stuff.
Hold on a minute. Are you
well.
The political
gags? Yeah,
that's you. I'm not, bro. Because I'm looking at it going, this guy political gags has been liking everything we've been putting up. Who is he? That's you.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Keep going.
So anyway, I keep posting some videos, and the next one got like, I don't know off the top of my head, but a few thousand. Then I posted this one of Donald Trump grilling a reporter and it just went off. And, you know, it was just growing each day and it got up to 1.1 million views. And I'm like, wow, this is insane. So I'll post a few more and on no word of a joke, two posts after that, I was cancelled. Like,
what do you mean?
Like, my posts got censored. I stopped getting views and went to absolute zero. So if you go onto my TikTok, and I'm sure you could put a screenshot up of that or something, you'll see that the videos go from 1.1 to 200 and something thousand down to like zero very quickly.
Hold on. No, I got to see this. So political gags?
Political gags.
So they shadow banned him. That's insane.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Who would have thought?
Yeah.
Down to the last one got 23. They really stuffed you.
Yeah, and you know I've tried a couple of times since to see if I could reignite it, but no, nothing,
bro. No. What was it? It was Trump.
Yeah.
That is brilliant. Yeah, we'll put that on the screen, ladies and gents. But mate, you got censored hard.
Yeah.
So Michael, your job is on the line right now.
Yeah, well, we got Michael on, right? Because we were doing TikTok prior to that and it was terrible. Just couldn't get any views, couldn't get it done, didn't know what the go was. And I thought about it. I go, TikTok is an app for teenagers. Let's get a teenager to run my TikTok account. It was a stroke of genius, I got to tell you. I felt very smart when I figured that out. and he's doing an all right job so far. So thank you, Mick. So if you see the new TikTok stuff, ladies and gents, you got Michael to thank for that. So thank you, sir. Appreciate you. He's just nodding at me. So that's good. But yeah, boys, it's Australia Day.
Yeah, it is. In a few days' time from now.
Yeah, but it's getting released on Australia Day. So it's getting released on Aussie Day morning. You know?
Yeah.
People waking up late, they can listen to talk to me.
So what does that mean? What do we do on Australia Day?
What are you doing on Australia Day? You're the Aussies, so I thought, you know.
Well, I'm actually driving home the morning of Australia Day back to Tamworth for the weekend, being the long weekend.
That sounds brutal.
Yeah.
Sounds un-Australian to be working on Australia Day, can I say?
Well, apparently celebrating Australia Day is un-Australian.
Yeah, well,
you heard this rubbish?
Not from my neck of the woods.
Yeah, you heard this rubbish? Bro, I was saying it to the boys yesterday. I hate this time of year because I love Australia Day. One of my favorite days of the year. And this time of the year leading up to Australia Day, you got all these idiots online talking about how it's Invasion Day, hashtag change the date, all that rubbish. What are our thoughts? I thought I'd bring in a controversial topic. Go.
It's a very controversial topic, isn't it? I think Adam's probably the best to answer this question, being a Liberal Party member.
You are a Liberal Party. Yeah, you are in the politics. Bro, if you don't become our PM in the next like 20 years, there's going to be problems.
Just remember what you say today. Dominic Perrottet, just the other day, was cancelled for wearing a Nazi uniform to a 21st birthday party.
That's very true.
You're now 26.
That's very true.
Whatever you say today could affect you when you become the Prime Minister or the President of Australia.
The President of Australia.
The President of Australia.
We're changing our whole constitution by that point.
Well, my assumption is by that time, the Labor Party would have been successful in changing us to a republic. So Adams might be our fourth or fifth President to Australia.
Okay.
Fourth or fifth? I'm going to be like 100 by that time.
All right, so I'll mate.
We've got to wait till... Yeah, anyway, it's not...
Anyway, so what do you think? What do you think of this whole Invasion Day, change the date rubbish?
Oh, I just think, like, Australia is a wonderful place to live.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, we've got a fantastic history and, you know, let's celebrate it. Like, you know, we don't get a public holiday to celebrate Australia any other time in the year. So now we've got the opportunity, like, let's get amongst it. And, like, there's so many things to like about Australia Day. Like, you know, go down to the park, get amongst your mates, have a game of cricket. Like, that is just... You need a public holiday just to have that game of cricket. Like, that's what I'm going to be doing on Australia Day, for sure.
100%. See, he's 100% right, bro. Like, all these people saying, you know, I get it. We've got a weird history as a country. But we can still celebrate all the good stuff that we have in this country.
Absolutely.
We have the best country in the world, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just bizarre, right? Like, I heard that Kmart, I think it was saying that they're going to allow their workers to opt in or out of Australia.
Nah, get lost. I hate this rubbish.
You need the day. The day has to be a public holiday. Like, there needs to be a day where we just take a look back, celebrate Australia for what it is. It's a great place. Yes, okay, there are some blemishes in our history.
Mm-hmm.
And every country has blemishes in their history. But by and large, Australia is a great place to live, to work, to raise a family. And people come from all across the world to enjoy the life that, you know, the lives that we live. So, you know, why not celebrate?
That's a very political answer he gave us there.
Yes.
Right? That was very good.
He was very careful in wording it.
Yeah, I liked it. That was very political. Very well done. But no, 100%. Bro, I look at... Bro, it's all over TikTok right now. Like, everyone's going off about, you know, Australia Day and... how they don't even want to change the date anymore. They want the new hashtag is abolish the date.
Really?
Just get rid of it. Don't celebrate the country at all.
Have you heard the alternative to, you know, the alternative dates that they've proposed?
No.
No. So one of them is May 8th. Mate.
I actually don't mind that. I reckon that's got a stigmatism about it.
Yeah,
stigmatism.
I can get behind that. Let's have Australia Day 2.0, May 8th. May 8th.
So I'm not a fan. I'm so traditional. Keep it on Australia on January 26th.
Oh, as many days to celebrate Australia as possible. Yeah, every public holiday they throw at me.
That's
every
fair.
Every single one.
My only issue with May 8th is that May 4th is Star Wars Day and it's too close.
You celebrate Star Wars Day, Ray.
May the 4th be with you, bro. Right behind you, there's a Star Wars poster.
That's right.
I should have sat somewhere else.
You don't like Star Wars?
I'm not a fan of it.
Right, we're not going to get into this.
They destroyed it when they released the new ones.
Yeah, the new ones aren't great, but it's top quality old stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the TV shows are top notch.
I haven't watched the TV
shows. Bro, you got to watch Mandalorian.
The Mandalorian?
Unbelievable.
Right? Okay.
No, it's unbelievable.
We'll see.
Ladies and gents, watch The Mandalorian. Even if you don't like Star Wars, watch it. Anyway, yeah, what's another one? They got May 8th.
Another date?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the only one that I took any
notice of. I heard one guy argue this. He's not a fan of this whole change the date, abolish the date. But he goes, you know what? If it's going to shut everyone up, do Anzac Day. It's a very Australian holiday. You could turn that into Australia Day and sort of do both in one hit. But I'm sitting there, I'm like, no, leave Anzac Day for what it is. That is such an important time of our year.
Yeah.
Such an important part of our history. Just leave us January 26th. What's the big deal?
If it's not broken, it doesn't need to be fixed.
Correct.
And it's a great day. In January as well, it's summer. It's obviously got historical significance as well.
Because to a few people and to a certain demographic, the date is broken. And they see it as broken. And they're playing on the fact that 200 and whatever years ago, that was the invasion day, the 26th of January. So to a certain demographic, it is broken. But then the question is, just because it's broken to that demographic, does that mean we go and change our national public holiday?
Well, that's the thing, right? I mean, they just recently changed the words of the Australian anthem. They changed it from "we are young and free" to "we are one and free" because that certain demographic was not a fan of it, right? But it's a minority in the demographic. That's my issue.
Yeah.
Like, if you go to the average bloke, he doesn't care. But it's the vocal guys that have a TikTok or a YouTube channel that have an issue. That's the that's my problem with it, is it's the minority that's talking way too loudly and they're somehow getting a chance to speak their mind. And Channel 7 and Channel 9 News can't wait to put them on there and say how much everyone's against this date.
Yeah, it's a good way to platform yourself.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And that's all it is. I don't think there's actually a problem.
Yeah.
I don't think they actually think that there is an offensive nature around that date today. I think it's just, I want to platform myself. I need a hill to die on at the moment. This is the one that's going to work for me because it's this time of the year.
Yeah.
We do make a lot of concessions to these, you know, this particular minority.
See, listen, I don't even want to beat around the bush. We're not even just talking about the Aboriginal community. We're talking about people in general that just find the problem and just jump on it.
Oh, I've got Aboriginal friends that love us. That's celebrating what
I'm saying,
Australia.
That's what I'm saying. It's not the Aboriginal community. It's the minority within it. Just like anything else. You know what I mean? Like any other... What's another minority?
Independent Baptists.
Sure. Or Lebos that have a problem with being called Lebo. It's a minority within the Lebanese community. That most of us don't care. You see what I'm saying? That's what I'm trying to say, is that it's just... They're looking for an issue that doesn't exist... Bro, when did this start? Like 4 years ago?
Yeah, I don't remember going through high school. Nah. It didn't mean much of an issue. Just basically year 11, 12 onwards, which is 4 or 5 years ago.
100%.
Yeah.
Wait, you went in 11 and 12 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I was.
I was year 12 of 2019.
29? That's not 4 or 5 years ago. That's 3 years ago.
I graduated 2020.
Joseph graduated 2020.
So you're...
How old are you again?
21.
You're young, bro. He's barely legal. Why is he hanging out with us? Nah, I would have graduated 2015.
Right.
But I didn't because I dropped out. But that's my concern. That's my issue. I think we need a new holiday.
I'm all for holidays.
I think we need a holiday in November. What was it? November 23rd, I think it is.
So is this on top of Australia?
Another holiday. As a remembrance day, a day of commemoration for the Great Emu War that we lost.
The Great Emu War that we lost.
Have you heard about this?
No.
You don't know about one of the biggest wars in Australian history? One of the biggest civil wars in Australian history?
Well, considering it has something to do with emus, it doesn't sound very significant.
So back...
I mean, like, if that's the worst we've got, we're doing okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So back in the day, I don't remember the dates exactly, but back in the day, the Aussie military, this is my favorite piece of Aussie history, period. Ladies and gents, educate yourselves. This is something they won't teach you in school. Look it up. So back in the olden days, there were too many emus, right? Way too many emus. So the Australian military set up a campaign to take out these emus. So they literally set up a war against these emus. You think I'm joking? I'm being dead set serious. Okay? They set up a campaign to go fight these emus. Aussie military gets out there, they start fighting. They fight for 2 weeks and lose the battle to the emus.
Oh my goodness.
We lost.
This is our military. Imagine if another country invaded us with a trained military force and we're losing to emus.
Brother, we lost. We lost to... What? Is this me? What happened? What, did you look it up?
No. I'm not fact-checking you.
Oh, okay.
I'm taking your word.
Then, hold on. They tried a second campaign to try and beat these emus. And we lost again. The Great Emu War of Australia.
How many years ago was this?
I think it was in the 50s.
50s, okay.
It was after World War II.
Right.
Yeah. So, we're on the high.
I'm pretty sure it's illegal to kill emus now.
Yeah, probably.
Well, you need a license.
Hold on, let me check the date. The Great Emu War. 1932, sorry.
1932.
November 2nd to December 10th. We fought emus. And we lost. Like, if you think our country's got problems, just think about the fact that there's emus hiding in the outback right now that could take us over anytime they wish. Because they have a history themselves of beating the Aussies.
Wow.
I'm shocked. I don't know what
to say. I can't believe you guys didn't know this.
No.
This is like...
I heard about the rabbits in school, like how there were different times where they tried to build fences to stop rabbits going from different places.
I thought you were talking about the Great Wall, the Telstra ad, when he was like, why do you build the Great Wall? Because there are too many rabbits.
Possibly.
Yeah. But yeah.
You know, Australia has the longest man-made structure in the world. It's longer than the Great Wall of China.
What is it?
It's a fence which keeps dingoes out from sort of the southeast part of Australia. And it runs from up in Queensland the whole way down. And I think it terminates somewhere in South Australia. I can't remember if it's west or east of Adelaide. But it's a big, long fence.
Dead set.
Yeah, yeah. I can't remember the name of it. But if someone's doing fact-checking.
Sure, let's fact-check. I have a computer here. You guys can talk while I... check this. So what's it called?
Structure. Longest man-made structure.
Longest
in the world.
Man-made structure. The Great Wall of China.
Is that what comes up?
Oh, here we go. Dingo fence.
There we go.
All right.
Is that something Australia?
No.
Australia holds many records, including the world's longest fence, the Dingo fence. At 5,531 kilometres, the Dingo Barrier Fence stretches from eastern Queensland all the way to South Australia. Yowza! And it was erected or built in the 1800s, early 1900s. There you go. It's a big fence, man.
It's huge.
That's mad. Do we really have that much of a dingo problem, though?
I have no idea.
Well, it's clearly working because I don't see many.
I don't see any dingoes there.
Not hopping around, but running around.
See, that's the thing, bro. If it was the emus that they were trying to keep out with that fence, they'd figure out a way.
So we won against the dingoes and lost against the emus.
That's what I'm saying. And I think the emus are plotting. You think we got problems as a country? Just wait until the emus attack. We're stuffed. Listen, you're laughing
what
at me.
What are we talking
you're
about?
Laughing at me now. You're laughing at me now, but just you wait. One day, there's going to be a Channel 9 news bulletin about the dingoes. Sorry, about the emus. And I'm going to be on the emu side.
What's that, right that movie where the gorillas come and go to war?
Planet of the Apes?
Yeah, Planet of the Apes.
What a series.
Planet of the Emus.
Bro, I'm telling you. I'm telling you right now. One day, we will be run by emus. We will be their slaves. And everyone will be looking at me like you were right. I'll be like, yes, I was.
What prophecy of Revelation are you pulling this one from?
I'm just telling you, bro. If you look at history, we lost. Like, no other country can say that they lost to a bird.
Can I just say, like, this is what makes Australia so great. Whenever we get in the news, it's like kangaroo punches a guy in the face. You know, the rest of the world, they're fighting over land and over, you know, bits of law and other you
we're
know
fighting animals.
Serious significant things, and here in Australia we're fighting the kangaroos.
See what
you know?
I'm saying? And they don't want to celebrate this great country. Come on, bro.
We have reached.
And
the
here's my thing. Australia has one of the greatest militaries in the world. Like, we're ranked up there, right? if one of the greatest militaries in the world couldn't take out this bird, what hope does the rest of the world? You see what I'm saying? Like, bro, good luck. Emus.
It must be why we have the emu on our...
That was the compromise they made.
We've got to have the kangaroo.
That was the compromise they made.
The moment the emu, you know, because it's just...
They beat us, man. We've got to put them up there. We've got to put them up there.
Australian of the year. Australians of the year.
Yeah. But Adam, you're in Sydney, bro.
Yeah, it's great to be back.
What brings you to the state, to the city?
This is still my home, right? So, you know.
If you say so, I'm seeing Brock more than I'm seeing you these days.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently he's taken possession of my room is the word that I've heard on the street.
Yeah, I get back to Adam's parents' place the other day. I walk into his house and he's lying on my bed.
Yeah, he was saying that he didn't give me permission or something to be there. Or anyway, that's what it's called adverse possession. It's a concept at law that if you relinquish possession of a place, physical possession, for a long enough period of time and someone else squats in there, they actually obtain, you know, the legal right to the place. Anyway, I don't want to go too deep into that, but that's what Brock's claiming, adverse possession.
Squatter's rights.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a normal person says, squatter's rights. What was that? Adverse possession. Mate,
it's possession that's adverse to your interests.
You're definitely a lawyer, bro. You are definitely a lawyer.
Oh, I haven't talked about that for a long time.
What? Law?
No. Property law. Adverse possession.
Yeah, bro, property's crazy right now. Anyway, I'm not going to get into that. It's killing my life. I talk about property way too much, bro. It's killing me. Bro, you're lucky. You don't live in Sydney, man. You don't deal with these shit, bro. The prices are ridiculous.
Yeah.
I see them. It's no good. Do you guys just laugh at us out in the country?
Yeah, well, what you can buy in, say, let's say Parramatta for $1.2 million, you'd have the best house in Tamworth with, you know, like a movie suite, a spa, everything you want, where a $1.2 million house in Parramatta gets you a three-bedroom weatherboard home.
Three-bedroom if you're lucky.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, but then you're living in Tamworth.
It's not too bad, actually. I did it for 2 months,
as I
mentioned on the previous episode.
I could not live away from Sydney, though, bro.
Well, you don't get stuck at a traffic light for two cycles of a red light. That's nearly unheard of in Tamworth. That's what I pet hate about Sydney.
That's because you have one traffic light in Tamworth.
Oh,
your pet hate of Sydney.
My pet hate of Sydney is when you get stuck at a red light for more than one cycle. You watch the cars in front of you go off.
Yeah.
And then it turns red again.
How rubbish is it when you got that one guy sitting probably playing on his phone? The light's been green for 2.5 seconds and he hasn't moved yet.
Yeah. You just want to jump on your horn. But then you go, I've got to be a light to the world here. I can't.
Is that the thing you deal with the most? Like that? It's traffic.
Yeah, the traffic. I've gotten a bit used to it now.
But do you want to just get out of your car and start like swinging?
No.
It's not a kind of.
Probably pull out a knife or something.
Oh no, you Aussies are creepy, bro. You freak me out. Like, you guys could be the calmest blokes on the planet, and then just click and then go nuts. At least with the Lebo, you know what you're getting.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I would have said the same about Lebs.
Nah.
No.
We're psychotic. Like, people know that. You just never... With Aussies, you can either get the calmest bloke in the world. That's just, yeah, it is what it is. Or you get just a aggro maniac. You just never know.
Yeah. There's no in between.
Mm. Know what I mean, Adam?
Kind of. I don't really see that many Aussies, to be honest.
Yeah, you do. Up in Queensland. That's where they all live.
Yeah, well, how is Queensland these days?
Queensland is going well. They're preparing to host the Olympics in 2032. So,
Gold Coast?
Yeah. No, Brisbane. Brisbane, but I'm sure it's going to be across southeast Queensland.
What a joke of a city.
They really need to work on their infrastructure before.
Stuff their infrastructure. Have something open past 12, past 10 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is a sore point.
Yeah.
This is a sore point.
Well, our leadership conference last year, nowhere to eat. The meeting would finish at like 9 o'clock. Then you've got nowhere to go.
Yep.
Did my head in. You couldn't even go to Macca's.
Yeah, even in Newcastle, a city of 500,000 people, you have things open at 11 o'clock at night. It's Brisbane. Everyone's in bed by 7.
I don't understand it up there, bro.
Yeah, not everyone's blessed with wings and things like bro. We are, you know, just...
Yeah, top quality. Yeah,
good quality food, open late.
Just... Camel burger. Have you had it yet?
No.
You haven't had a camel burger yet?
No.
Bro, what are you doing, man? This guy's your guest. Take him to Wings and Things. Get him a camel burger.
We've been to Wings and Things before.
Yeah, I haven't had a camel burger. I've never heard of...
It's unbelievable.
Right.
Next trip.
Speaking of, you know, we have one of the largest camel populations in the world.
Another reason why Australia is the greatest
country. Just giving you reason after reason why we are top notch as a country. And our Maccas is probably the best Maccas in the world.
100%.
Have you had Maccas in the States?
No, I've never been to the States.
You've been overseas?
Yeah, Vanuatu twice.
Okay. You've been to the States.
I went only a couple of months ago, or 4 or 5 months ago now.
Maccas is rubbish there.
Yeah, it was quite disappointing. I had it in New York. Down in one of the subways. I think they prepared it on the floor.
just terrible.
And seriously, like, it's not hard to actually line the burger up and get it right. But there was a patty coming out the side, and the sauce was on the box. they'd put the sauce down, and then the bun.
Yeah, I've started to come to a conclusion when it comes to getting angry at Maccas, because it happens a lot. Like, they stuff up my order, the meat's somewhere else where it's meant to be in the burger, like all that sort of stuff. I'm starting to realize, the older I'm getting, I'm 25, but these are all 16-year-olds making my food. Mm. They're not the smartest people on the planet. They're 16. Like, I understand the concept of it can't be that hard. Because it can't be. It's pretty straightforward and simple. But they're 16. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 16 on minimum wage. They're just there for the paycheck. They're not there.
Yeah, but they're not that smart is what I'm saying. You know?
It really depends. It depends on who it is.
Mate, think about, Adam and I were actually having a chat 16. Earlier today about Macca's workers. And Macca's workers actually produce some really, really talented staff members.
Oh, they're phenomenal. Yeah. Their management situation is crazy town.
Yeah.
Really, really good. I have a friend. She went through their system and she like manages one of them up in Newcastle. Mm. Like, yeah, they're top quality. Mm. But yeah, so now I'm not getting as angry as I used to because I'm like, oh, they're 16.
Yeah.
They can't get the placement right on the burger because they're thinking about their next, you know, business opportunity or, you know, because that's the training ground for people that go on and do great things in business. The Maccas, you know, drive through or the kitchen.
I don't know what you're getting at. I'll tell you this. What I'm saying. The app is the best thing in the world.
My Maccas app?
Yeah, unbelievable.
I actually don't like their new system. Because the only thing that I buy from Maccas is a coffee. And you used to get like 5 coffees, get 1 free.
Oh yeah, you can't do that anymore.
And now it's based on this point system, Mitch.
But the point system is unbelievable. Let me tell you, the other night, Thursday night, I got 4 cheeseburgers and a large chips for free. All because of their point system.
Wow. How much money do you have to spend to get those points?
I don't know. I don't know, but it was a lot. It definitely was
a couple of years worth of Maccas orders.
Yeah, 100%. But their daily deals are unbelievable.
Sure.
Like today's one was like $6 for 6 nuggets and chips and a drink.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
See?
Yeah.
Yeah. They just take my money, bro. Oh yeah,
shut up and take my money.
That's exactly it, brother. So what else is happening, Adam?
Wrong ad.
You seem very perplexed.
No, I'm
still what I'm going for.
Getting ready to celebrate Australia Day. Minds on other things. Have a good time.
What's your mind on, Adam?
Work, life.
I told him you were going to do this the whole time. Just work.
Lots of things.
Just
lots
work.
Of things. No, not just work.
Yeah, what else?
But work as. As people would know, I started a new job in November, so that's
I don't think that's what we want to know about, Adam.
No, right.
can we make it plain and simple for you? What's taking you up to Queensland?
All right, we're going to stop it there. Brock, you're in Sydney now. You're doing your whole wood thing, because last time we spoke, you sell wood.
Yes.
Right?
That's correct.
Apparently that's skyrocketed now.
Yeah, It's doing well. I'm enjoying what I'm doing, and we're looking to expand and we're growing, which is always nice.
He sells wood, boys, firewood, timber,
decking boards.
That is the most
framing timber.
You are probably the manliest man I know.
The manliest man.
That is like the manliest job a person could have. Sell wood.
I sell wood.
Know what I mean?
Sure.
I'm a support advisor for apprentices and trainees. That's not a manly job.
It's a job that the economy needs.
Yeah, but it's not a manly job. You sell wood. You know, without you, houses don't get built. Things don't happen.
Yep. Yep.
My barbecue doesn't get barbecued.
That's true.
See what I'm saying?
Although the timber that he's selling is not exactly, to me,
no, you used as
barbecue.
No, yeah, you did very firewood. Expensive firewood. Yeah, no, I'm not selling much firewood anymore. It's,
oh,
it's
really?
You
got over
summer.
The firewood?
Well, yeah, he's doing decking.
Yeah, yeah, lots of decking material, more building materials these days. I'm still doing lots of kindling and whatever in the firewood scene, but like it's summer, it's hot, no one's buying it. So
aren't they doing that for their barbecues though?
No, that's a tiny market. It's really? So incredibly small. Yeah.
I must be a lot of that market. I do a lot of barbecues, bro. A lot of barbecues.
Sure.
Yeah. But yeah, mate.
Yeah, so yeah, it's been good. It's been busy. It's bringing me down to Sydney a fair bit, so I'm spending more time around the area.
We're gonna touch on this earlier. We're gonna try get him to come to faith, and you know, take Adam's role.
Yeah, Lyndon, take notice.
Yeah.
No, definitely there is a need in churches outside of faith and outside of Sydney as
this
well.
Is him being him being a politician again, bro. See
we're
how you
talking about it's, faith it's, having 10 preachers already. Why would that even 11?
We, you know, like the Lord has blessed our church incredibly by giving us so many people that are able to share the word well. You know, surely we don't need to keep recruiting.
I swear. So what's your movements this year? What are you doing?
Just more of the same, to be honest.
Still moving from church to church. Helping them out and all that sort
of stuff. Yeah, well, look, I'm still on the roster to preach several times at Faith and, you know, helping with governance as well more this year, getting a bit more involved in the legal side of things. But, you know, open to opportunities as they come up in other places. Like when I was up in Queensland a couple of weeks ago, the church in Springwood got COVID and, you know, he said, can you fill in? And so I was able to fill the gap there. So it's more pulpit supply, I would say. You know what I'll do, and the opportunities just come up. You can't really plan months and months in advance if you know speak to evangelists that come through our church from time to time. You've just got to, you know, trust the Lord and he brings the opportunities across.
Yeah, nice, bro. Brock, what do you think? I don't speak to you a lot, so I'll pick your brain. What do you think the biggest need is right now in the church scene?
In the church scene, that's a very good question. It's not something I've spent a lot of time thinking about, but I think there's a pretty big lack of emphasis on prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think everyone has a prayer life, but I don't know how committed everyone is to praying. Like, it's very rare that as Christians we talk about, you know, what we're praying about, what we need prayer for, what others need prayer for. So that's the first thing that comes to mind when you ask that question.
The need for prayer or the emphasis on prayer.
The emphasis on prayer and the importance of it.
Why do you think we don't have a grasp on that? Because it's a fairly simple concept.
Yeah.
Something you learn when you're in Sunday school as a kid.
Yeah, that's right. It could be because these days we're so incredibly busy. And when I say busy, I say that loosely because we're not always doing productive things. It might simply be things such as scrolling TikTok or watching movies on social media, time where we just fill the time, where we appear to be busy, where we're just doing things for the sake of doing things.
Yeah.
So for that reason, it just prayer can become an afterthought or something that Christians don't emphasize enough.
It also seems to be something that people aren't skilled at anymore, Ad.
Mm.
Like, people seem to have lost the ability or lost the skill set of prayer, of sitting down, spending the time and praying. Why do you think that is? There's just zero attention span there.
I think it has to do with that. People might not also just believe God at his word. I think when he, you know, talks about prayer being powerful and being able to change things and to come before him and bring our you know, our requests and supplications to him, do we actually believe that he can, you know, do what he said he would? You know, some people, you know, and it comes down to a lack of faith, I think, for a lot of people. And it's something, you know, I'm not saying that I've arrived and nobody's arrived. We could all increase our faith, you know, like the you know, disciples asked Christ to do for them. So it's, yeah, it's something that we really need to work on, trusting God at his word. It really comes down to that.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that I think every Christian struggles with, no matter how close they are to God or how new they are to the faith. I think it's just one of those things that everyone struggles with because it's the easiest thing to drop. It's the easiest thing to just leave to the side or save for later, or I'll do a quick prayer now and then just try to catch up later on. But when you really get into the depths of prayer, it's like, nah, man, this is full on. Like, you need to do it. You need that time to repent. You need that time to thank God for all he's done and to request more and to see things change in life. The only way you're going to see it is through prayer.
Yeah.
I think the other thing is that we need that peer pressure in a good way. Mm-hmm. You know, like when we have all-night prayer meetings, it's a big boost for many of us to get back into, you know, praying regularly and praying for things when we put ourselves in those situations where, you know, people are praying around us, it encourages us to continue to go on. And I think that's, you know, with anything in Christianity, going to church, you know, it's, you don't get special grace by going to church. It's not a means of obtaining salvation, but it gives you that boost, you know, to go into the week and know that you're not alone. God's with you. But you've also got other Christians that are going through similar things.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those things that you can do corporately. You can do together. You can do with someone. And I think it's one of those things that we don't do with each other enough. Mm. The other day I was with a mate and we went and checked out his new house. He just bought a house. We went through the whole block. We took a look at it. We loved it. And just before we left, I go, bro, let's pray. Like, let's thank God for this and pray for the future of this house and your family and all that. And we stood there in the middle of the street and we prayed together. And as we were praying, I just stood there praying, thinking, man, like this needs to be a regular occurrence. Like, it feels so weird. It feels unnatural, but it shouldn't feel that way at all. It should be something that we're just constantly doing. It should be a second nature to us, just like when we sit down to eat.
Yeah, that's right.
I think we need to normalize that. Yeah. There shouldn't be anything weird whatsoever in pulling someone aside and saying, you know, like, let's pray for this or pray for that. That's really good.
Well, that's one of the things I love about church is anytime I've spoken to one of the boys or one of the spiritual leaders in my life, I say to them, listen, I'm struggling with this or this week this is happening, whatever. There's a couple of the boys that will say, all right, let's pray. Pull me into a dark corner. Stand with me and pray for a minute, 2 minutes and get God to be part of that whole situation. And that needs to be normalized. You're 100%. I made the commitment years back. Whenever someone says, hey, I need prayer for this, or can you pray for me for this? I refuse to say I'll be praying for you if I'm not actually going to pray for them. Because I think we're so flippant with that term of, yeah, I'll pray for you, or I'll be praying, and don't actually do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Know what I mean?
It's something that's very easy to say to sort of close a conversation.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it's like, how was your week? Praise God. Like, did you actually mean that? Like, we get so used to saying Christian terms.
Yeah.
I think it's a good thing, but it's a pretty bad thing if we're not considering what we're actually saying. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm. You know, it's quite interesting because the Bible tells us very clearly how we should be praying in Matthew chapter 5, or chapter 6. Gee, I'm going to have to fact check that one as well.
Matthew chapter 6.
Chapter 6. So, yeah, it's something that it's right there for us to learn from it. And it's something that we quite often fall short on.
Yeah, 100%. Well, there you go, ladies and gents. Make sure you're praying. Normalize prayer. Hashtag normalize prayer. Good one, Adam. Yeah. Well
you
done,
know what?
Sir.
Get it trending.
Yeah, well done.
Out of all people, I think Pastor Hester has really set the agenda in this area in our
has
church. Because, you know, yeah, if you ever notice, when he's there on Sundays, he goes around and he talks to people and he's having personal, deep and meaningful conversations with people. And usually at the end of those conversations, you'll see him
hand
pray.
Around the person. Praying for him.
Yep.
Yeah, 100%.
Just phenomenal. 100%. I love the guy.
It's great. And we love him so much here on this show that he's actually coming on, ladies and gentlemen. Believe it or not, Pastor Hester said yes, and he's coming on to the show. He's going to be on our next Talk to Me. So that's going to be exciting. That's exciting stuff. Any advice for me as I conduct that interview, mate?
Well, maybe, you know, don't read all the way through his book. You might not have enough time with your busy schedule. But have a look through his book.
I've read it.
You've read it?
No, I've read it, mate. Okay. You don't think I've read that? I've read that thing twice.
Okay.
Love that book.
Which but one, Old or New Testament?
No, Cast Your Bread, his autobiography.
Okay.
Unbelievable. So all good. Right. It's like you're actually sitting there talking to him.
Mm.
Okay. Because he's just so casual with his writing.
Sure.
So he tells the story all the way from Kansas to Australia.
Right.
Yeah, it's great. But we're going to talk about mainly the Australian years.
Right.
So that's what we're going to get into.
Mm.
Yeah,
I think it'd be interesting to see or to get his perspective on what it's like to start a church here in Australia.
Done. What about you, mate?
Advice for Pastor Hester. Well, he's got so much experience in so many different things. So, I don't know, just get his opinion on as many different things as possible.
Shall I get his opinion on the Emu War?
Yeah, do it.
Actually, one thing I've been dying to ask him is how has he put up with us all for all these years?
So I ask him that all the time, and his response is just so Christian. It's, I love you, boys. God bless me with you guys. And it's just like, no, tell us you hate us. Like that's what I'm expecting. Okay? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for another episode. Adam, where are the people finding you?
At Faith Baptist Church on a Sunday morning.
Sure.
85% of the time.
Yeah,
the next 3 weeks, I will be in town.
Sure. Brock, where do people find you online?
Just on my Facebook page, or I think we mentioned it earlier, Political Gags on TikTok.
Yep.
There's not much of an active account these days, but if you want to go follow me on there.
Let's get him unshadow banned, ladies and gents. Let's get his posts back to a million again. Let's get this guy sharing as much Donald Trump videos as possible. And ladies and gents, you know where to find us. Let's have a chat with Ray and Stat on all the social medias. TikTok is popping off, and that's thanks to Mick. Make sure you subscribe to the channel, ring the bell, and share us around. We'll see you next time.